looking at my notes. Go with me to Daniel chapter 10. This is not in my notes, but it's in the Holy Ghost notes. Smart to follow him, don't you think? Amen. Daniel chapter 10. This is a vision. The 10th chapter, actually the whole book of Daniel, is a wonderful book to read and to study from. Let's begin in verse number 7. Daniel chapter 10, verse 7. Once again, always reading from the New King James, unless otherwise indicated. And by the way, thank you for coming back tonight. You know, it's a Sunday evening, and most of us go to work in the morning and have to get up and so forth. And thank you for choosing the good part to come and be in service tonight. Amen. God appreciates that very much. So do we. Daniel chapter 10 and verse number 7. This is a vision that is taking place as we read from the 10th chapter. An angel from heaven has appeared to the prophet. He's in the midst of a fast. He's been fasting for quite some time. And it says, and I, Daniel, alone saw the vision, for the men who were with me did not see the vision, but a great terror fell upon them, so that they fled to hide themselves. Therefore, I was left alone when I saw this great vision, and no strength remained in me, for my vigor was turned to frailty in me, and I retained no strength. Then we go to verse 9. Yet I heard the sound of his words, and while I heard the sound of his words, I was in a deep sleep on my face, with my face to the ground. You know, it reminds me of the vision that John had on the Isle of Patmos when Jesus appeared. He fell flat on his face, you know, because the Bible says Jesus appeared in all of his glory. You know, I mean, that's where we would be if an angel appeared to us like this, or Jesus himself, would fall flat on our face as well, like he did here. So verse 10, suddenly a hand touched me, which made me tremble on my knees and on the palms of my hands. And he, this is the angel, he said to me, O Daniel, man greatly beloved, understand the words that I speak to you. Please underline that or highlight. Understand the words that I'm going to give to you. Understand them. And stand upright, or in other words, stand up. For I have now been sent to you. While he was speaking this word to me, I stood trembling. Then verse 12. Then he said to me, do not fear, Daniel, for from the first day that you set your heart to understand, there's the word again, understand. We're going to get back to that in a minute. And to humble yourself before your God, your words, whose words? His words. Your words were heard. And I have come because of his words. His words. We're talking about words. The most powerful weapon on the planet are the words we speak. And he's telling him right here. He said, from the first day you started to pray and you lifted your voice to God, he heard your prayer. He heard your words. And I am here, he goes on to say, because of your words, because of something you said, I'm here. Think about that. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days. And behold, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me. For I had been left alone there with the kings of Persia. And then you can go on reading. But the point that I want you to see comes from the verses that we've just read. Your words, when you pray, God always hears your prayer. I don't care where, when, under what circumstances, he always hears your prayer. And the answer is given when you pray. That's what Jesus said in Mark chapter 11, is it not? He said, when you pray, believe that you receive. When you pray, believe that you receive. He didn't say when you see the answer. He said, when you pray about the answer, that's when you get the answer. It's your words that seal the deal. It's my words, your words, our words. Okay? This, we talked about this earlier today. Thank you, Holy Ghost. I'll get right over to it. This is a war of words. It is a world war of words. We've had World War I, World War II, and they talk about World War III, et cetera, et cetera. This is the real war. This is the war in the spirit world. How many understand the spirit world is the parent? This is the child. The laws of this world are all subservient to the laws of the original world, the father world, the parent world, whatever you want to call it, the spirit world, okay? Whenever the spirit world interjects its power into this world, it's called miracles. It's called things that are not physically possible here, but because of what goes on over there, it is possible, and that's what we call miracles. And those things happen because somebody said something. Somebody said something. Maybe you don't know who it was, but somebody said something that opened the portal to God's power to interject itself into this world's situations, tragedies, triumphs, difficulties, whatever it may be that we're praying about. Just like what he said here to the prophet. He said, the day you prayed, Daniel, God heard what you said. And I was sent on that day, but the devil hindered me for 21 days. Okay, here's another piece of good news. Now, in Christ, we don't have to go through angels and through the heavenlies to get to have angels get to us. We're already in Christ. We're seated at the right hand of God. You don't have to go through any of this now. This is New Testament. If this is going on in the Old Testament, how much better is it now under the New Covenant? A better covenant based upon better promises. We're in Christ. Do you realize that you actually occupy two places simultaneously? You are here on earth in your body, like we said earlier today. Your body is just your tent. It's not you. It's what you're living in. Okay? When they bury your body, they let you go home. The Bible says the body without the spirit is dead. When the spirit leaves, that's death. Okay, that's technical death. When the spirit leaves, because the spirit provides life to the body. It's not the heart, it's the spirit that propels the heart. As you know, the blood vessels and all of that stuff. Well, when the spirit leaves, that's technically, as far as God's concerned, death. Separation of body and spirit. Okay? Well, they bury your body, but they don't bury you. You go home. If Jesus is Lord, you're going up, and if he isn't, you're going down, and whichever way you go, you're going forever. Okay, now, Holy Ghost wants me to go on over here, so I need to do this. 1 John. 1 John 5. This was not in my notes, but somebody here needs to hear these things. And that's okay. We're just here to help. 1 John 5, verse 14. Somebody here needs to know these things. Somebody's been praying here, and you're wondering if your prayers were heard, and you're wondering if your prayers are going to be answered. And God's telling you he heard, and yes, they have been answered. Verse 14. Now, this is the confidence. Everyone say confidence. Confidence. Okay, we're not worried. We're not wondering. This is the confidence that we have in him. How many are in Christ? He's talking about us. That if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And verse 15, if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have, not maybe, I hope so. You never know what God's going to do and all this stuff that you hear out here. No. We know that we have the petitions that we have asked of him. I mean, that's all encompassing there. Now, either that means what it says, or we ought to just go home, eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. Either these verses mean what they say and say what they mean, or, you know, what are we doing here? God does not lie. When you pray, and you pray with words, do you not? Mm-hmm. Now, you can think things, but if you want something to get done in the spirit world through this channel, this portal, you have to say something. It's the words you say that open the portal and allow God to be great. Not just what you think, not just what you hope, but it's what you say. Okay? It's what you say. That's what the prophet was told by the angel that showed up. Your prayer was heard on the first day that you put it up there. And God sent me, but I was hindered 21 days. But I'm here because of something you have been saying. It's a war of words daily. We are in a war of words. Words are the greatest weapons on the planet. Okay? It's what I call spiritual propaganda. Okay? Propaganda is, you know, an effort to sway the thinking of the people that you're talking to. Okay? That's propaganda. Okay? Well, there's spiritual propaganda. You can sway the minds and hearts of the people that you preach to, because the Bible says the Word of God is alive. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. It pierces to the division of soul and spirit and joints and marrow. That's why it's so important. I tell people, if you want to really maximize your Bible study time, read the Bible out loud so you can hear yourself, because faith comes by hearing. So if it comes by hearing, somebody has to be speaking it. Either you're speaking it to yourself, or you're listening to someone else speak it and you're listening to them. But that's how faith comes. Okay? You've got deposits and withdrawals. Your spirit is an open book. You can deposit the Word of God into your heart by listening to it. The more you listen to it, the more it gets deposited in your heart, just like the bank accounts. Okay? And the more you have down in your heart, the Bible says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. It's not what's just in your heart. It's what's in abundance in your heart that comes out under duress. When you're up against the wall, under stress and pressure, we will find out where you've been by what comes out your mouth. You won't have to tell me. I'll just listen and I'll know. Amen. When you go to the doctor and they find some unexpected something and they're telling you suddenly you've got 6 months to live, there's one for you. Or the bank, you know, pulls your mortgage and says, we're calling in the loan. There's another one for you. Or the pink slip at work, and they tell you, you know, you're being laid off next week. There's another one for you. Unexpected tragedies, unexpected challenges. What comes out your mouth in those times of duress? It's easy to do this in church. It's easy to surround yourself with other people of like precious faith and preach the gospel and declare your destiny. God's got an army marching through the land. You know, deliverance is their song and healing in their hand. But what about when you go home? And it's you and nobody else. Amen? You know, at the church, it's God's got an army marching through the land. Watch out, devil, I'm coming through. Yeah, when you go home and it's all by yourself, you know, the tone changes. It's God and Amy marching through the land. Deliverance is your song with healing in your hand. Watch out, devil, I'm coming through. Hey. You need to tell the devil, shut up and leave my house. Get out of my house. Get out of my family's life. Get out of my children's life. Get off my porch. And let the neighbors hear you. And they won't be so quick to bother you, I got to tell you for a fact. Listen, if you go to this church, they already think you're nuts, so you might as well just be yourself. They'll be laughing about you. They'll be talking about you. But when old little Johnny gets sick with a bloody flux of some kind, and they take him to the doctor, and there's nothing the doctor can do, they'll come knocking on your door. And that's not the time to say, I told you so. No. Go across the street, go to Johnny's bedroom, lay hands on little Johnny, watch the power of God blow him across the room, and when mom pulls Johnny off the wall, she'll have questions about where you go to church. She'll want to know. Power of God confirms the word we speak. Okay, as we finished our message earlier today, we talked about the fact that we are a world at war and we are occupying. We have been handed the victory. We didn't earn it. He did. Jesus did it for us. That's why we sing about him all the time, because he's worthy of it. We're not. Okay, all we're worthy of is God's judgment and indignation. But because we're in Christ, because of the blood of the Lord, the Lamb on the mercy seat, it's not a judgment seat, it's a mercy seat. Glory to God. Amen. All right. So, we are, thank you. Okay, I'll go that direction. My notes are here, but God's got other plans. You and I are, let me back up and say it this way. In the Philippines, as an example, these people can speak multiple languages just because of where they are and just the topography. And, you know, it's an island nation, 7,100 islands in the Philippines. As a result, the common language in the Philippines, the thread that holds it all together, is English, believe it or not. You may not know this, but the Philippines is the third largest English-speaking country in the world. The Philippines. Because all these islands have different languages, different dialects, and so in order to get along and to, you know, conduct commerce and economy and all of this, they got to have a common thread, and it's English. Okay? A lot of our corporations have call centers in the Philippines. because the Filipinos know English so well. Have you ever, you know, you can tell the difference too. Have you ever called somebody and they connect you with the call center in Bombay, India? You know, you would think to yourself that these people understand that you wouldn't be calling customer service in the first place unless something was wrong. So you're already, you know, ticked about something. And then you get, you know, Rahib, you know, who can barely talk English. And you're trying to convey to Rahib what's going on. And he can't communicate with you. And you can't communicate with him. And then he says, well, that's okay. Let me, I will pass you to my brother Farouk. So then you're trying to talk to Farouk about the problem. By the time you're done, it's hang up. You know, frustration sets in. But, you know, in the Philippines, these guys can talk and get along in English quite well. Our son, years ago, he had a girlfriend, a 19-year-old girl who lived in Germany. Filipino girl, but lived in Germany. They're all over the place, just like Americans are. And so he was talking to her. She could speak six languages fluently at the age of 19. Six. And I was thinking to myself, man, you know, what's with some of these people? I'm not that way. Some people are linguistically gifted. They can just do this. They can just pick up languages. It's not hard for them. I've never been one of those. It's always been hard for me. Tried my best in high school with French. That was a crepe Suzette disaster. Followed by Spanish in college because I knew French wouldn't work and I had to take something in college, Romance languages and so forth. So I picked Spanish. That was 2 years of frustration. You know, muy dificulto. Very hard-o for me-o. You know, I gave up on that one too. You know, so I'm mumbling to the Lord about this business of people, you know, talking bilingual and trilingual and all this. And he said something to me. He said, listen, you don't realize you are already bilingual. You just don't know it. And he said, most people don't know it. I said, what do you mean? He said, you are a spirit living in a body. He said, there's two languages you speak simultaneously. You speak out of your head and out of your heart at the same time when you speak. Because you've got head languages. As an example, tonight we're using English, are we not? English is the language, the common thread here tonight. We're all speaking English. Okay, if we go south across the border, everybody will be speaking Spanish. Okay, it's the common thread. That's an intellectual language we learned. We learned how to speak English. Nobody was born fluent in English or Spanish or German or Swedish. Nobody learns those things by default. They get taught. They go to school. They learn, correct? They go to school. They listen to their parents and their neighbors and everybody. And they grow up learning these languages. Chinese, Japanese. Have you ever been around people speaking Chinese? How these people get along and communicate, I have no idea. But they do. Millions of people do. Okay? And the kids pick it up. Okay? That's a language of the head, he said. Those are learned intellectual languages. But the languages of the heart, this comes out of your spirit. This is faith, fear, doubt, unbelief, and what Jesus called idle, which the Greek says are empty words. See, this here, this is a container. This contains water. Okay, do you understand that words are containers? Words contain spiritual force. That's how God created the worlds. He spoke. He said something. You go back to Genesis chapter 1. It says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. But then verse 2, and the earth was void and without form, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. He didn't create it void and formless and darkness. That's not God. God is light. Everything he touches is light. Everything he touches is perfect. He doesn't create anything void and without form and darkness covering the deep. Something happened between verse 1 and verse 2. Go back and read Ezekiel and Isaiah. You'll find out that's when the devil arose. Went up to heaven and was cast out like lightning. That's what Jesus said. Okay. And when that happened, everything went into chaos and confusion. So verse 3 from Genesis 1 is actually the recreation, the remaking, the fixing of the mess that Lucifer caused when he rose up against the Lord, okay? But how did this happen? It says in verse 2, the Spirit of the Lord was hovering over the face of the waters. Hovering. How many understand what hovering means? You know, like the helicopter hovering. He's up above the ground. He's not on the ground. He's not flying through the air. He's stationary. He's in midair. He's hovering. So the Holy Ghost was hovering over the face of the waters. What's he waiting for? Words. Words. He's waiting for words. Do you know, do you understand that the Holy Spirit hovers over your life in the same way he hovered over the earth, waiting for the words? He's waiting for your words. Your words that give him permission to get involved in your life the way he wants to be, the way you need him to be. But if you don't say these things, he's got nothing to work with. It's like angels. The Bible says angels in Psalms 103, they hearken to the voice of the spoken word. When you got born, when you were born, angels were assigned to your life. Do you understand that? They were assigned to you, and they will be with you forever. As long as you're on earth, they're with you. But in many cases, they are doing nothing because they can't. They have nothing to work with because we're not giving them any words to work with. And they're just standing around saying, when is this fool going to ever learn that we're here to help? You know, and many people live and die and never give them a chance to go out and do things great for God because we don't know what's going on. That's why we have such an undisciplined tongue. We don't think before we speak. The Bible says, be quick to hear, slow to speak. Think before you speak is really what he's trying to say. Think before you speak. What's coming out your mouth? Because what's coming out your mouth is either enabling God or enabling the devil. Take your pick. It's one or the other. Idle words, empty words, those are words that carry no force. Okay? Empty words. That's a language. Most people are fluent in empty. Just like I'm fluent in English, you're fluent in English. Most Christians are fluent in empty. You know, they just talk all day long and they don't say anything. Do you know that on average, people speak about 7,000 words a day? Average, some more, some less, a little bit more, a little bit less, but 7,000 words a day on average is what a human being speaks. Just normal day-to-day living, interaction with other people, 7,000 words. Imagine what's going on around the planet with billions of people speaking these kind of words, the numbers of words, 7,000 a day times 2 or 3 or 4 billion. I'm not sure how many people live on the planet, but do you understand how the devil has power to work? When Jesus said, all power has been given to me, I used to ask the Lord, well, if you've got all the power, where's the devil getting his from? And the Lord told me, he's getting it from people who don't know what they're saying. That's where he gets it from. All around the planet, all these people talking and jabbering and yapping, and they don't know what they're saying. It's fear, it's doubt, it's confusion, and they're filling the atmosphere with all these words that just give the devil a field day to work with. You're giving him ammunition every day. Aren't you glad you came tonight? Yes. This is what's going on. This is why we need to control what we say. Because just like what the angel told Daniel, he said, I'm here because of your words. Or he could also say, if you weren't speaking these things, I wouldn't be here. Someone say amen. Amen. Look at Psalms number 140. Psalms number 140. All right, verse number 1. It's a short psalm. We're going to read all of it. We'll comment along the way as we go. Psalms 140, verse 1. Okay, find that in your Bible or your app, whichever you're using, your tablet. It says, deliver me, O Lord, from evil men. Preserve me from violent men who plan evil things in their hearts. How many understand we're living in a world surrounded by people like this? Yep. Just read this and you can read the headlines in tomorrow's paper, and this is who he's talking about right here. Who plan evil things in their hearts. They continually gather together for what? War. See, they know there's a war going on. They, verse 3, these are the ones gathering together for war. These are the ones who plan evil in their hearts. They sharpen their tongues like a serpent. The poison of asps, that simply means snakes. The poison of snakes is under their lips. See, they're waging war against us with words. How do we combat them? Look at verse 4. Keep me, O Lord, from the hands of the wicked. Preserve me from violent men who've purposed to make my steps stumble. See, they're after us. What they're doing is by design. It's not by accident. The proud have hidden snares for me and cords. They have spread a net by the wayside. They set traps for me. This is going on all around us right now with the news, social media, whatever. You know, you could get into all kinds of things, but you know what I'm talking about. Verse 6, I said to the Lord, you're my God. Hear the voice of my supplications, O Lord. O God, the Lord, the strength of my salvation, you've covered my head in the day of battle. Do not grant, O Lord, the desires of the wicked. Don't further their wicked schemes, lest they be exalted. Verse number 9. As for the head of those who surround me, let the evil of their lips cover them. In other words, let what they're saying come back on them. We have the authority to do that. Most Christians don't know how to pray. You want to pray for these ungodly people? Pray that all the things that they're trying to do against us will come flying back upon them in the name of Jesus. Let burning coals fall upon them. Let them be cast into the fire, into deep pits, that they do not rise again. Verse 11, do not let the slanderer be established in the earth. Let evil hunt the violent man to overthrow him. These are prayers you can pray. How do we wage war? We wage war with words. They come against us with words. We counterattack with words. This is how this goes back and forth. Okay? Words. Word wars. Okay? Battles that he covers our head. How does he cover our head? He teaches us how to speak. He teaches us how to wage war with the words we speak. Amen? I'm reminded of the story in the Bible. You know the story in John chapter 8, I believe it is. The woman caught in the act of adultery. They pulled her right out of the bed in the act of adultery is what the Bible says. My first question is, where's the man? Last time I checked, it takes two to tango, not just the woman. Why'd they yank her out and leave him? Okay. But they did nonetheless, you know, and dragged her probably half clothed, half naked out into the street. And Jesus was just out there, you know, talking and having some kind of like a semi-Bible study. And they brought her to him. And they thought, this is our opportunity. We can nail him with this one. And they said, you know, hey, master, hey, rabbi, in the Bible, in the law, it says that this woman who was just caught in the act of adultery should be stoned to death. And they were right. The law said that. And they were right to quote it. But he's there to present the law of love. He's there to present the higher law. Okay? And, I mean, he had her life in his hands. Depending upon how he answered them, she could be stoned to death on the spot. Or, what did he do? He said, you know, he stooped down and wrote on the ground. One of my questions when I get to heaven is going to be, what did you write on the ground? I'd like to know. I would just be curious. Probably the word morons. That'd be my guess. But one never knows. But the point is, all right. So he wrote on the ground, you know, and they're standing over him. They think they got him cornered. Well, what are you going to say? Because that's what the law says. She's toast. She's dead meat. And he stands up and says, you know, cleans himself off, you know, and says, hey, he that is without sin, you be the first to throw that stone. What an answer. And one by one, they dropped their stones and walked away because they knew that he had just nailed them. You know, what an answer. You can combat that kind of stuff with the words you speak. You can leave your enemies in the dust, unable to respond to the words that you talk about. The Bible says, you know, don't worry about what you're going to say, because in the hour when you're most persecuted, the Holy Spirit will give you the words to speak. But that doesn't just come by accident. Remember what I said, you have to deposit that into your heart so that out of the abundance of the heart, the Holy Ghost can pull out what he needs for you to say. And when you say it, your enemies will stand there with their mouths open, will be unable to respond. Because of the words you spoke, because of the word you took the time to deposit into your heart. It's a deposit that cannot be withdrawn until you deposit. You can't go down to the bank and withdraw $1,000 if you only deposited $100. Amen? If you try to pull out $1,000 and you only got $100 in the account, the bank will tell you, you can't do that. You only have $100 in the account. Put $1,000 in and you can take $1,000 out. But, you know, a lot of Christians are trying to, you know, put 10 cents in, and then when they need $1,000 worth of faith, they've got nothing to work with because they've been depositing all this faith, this fear and doubt and unbelief for years, and then under crisis, they got nothing to work with, nothing to say. Words. Thank you, Jesus. evil men continually gather together for war. How do they do it? With their tongues. With their tongues. You hear it on the news. You hear it in social media. These are words. The air is full of them. Words. Okay? What did God talk about Samuel? He said, I will not let that man's words fall to the ground. Words are spoken and they're out there. Okay, you can't see them. But right now, there's radio stations broadcasting. You know that radio stations are broadcasting. They're on some frequency. And if you turn on your radio set that's tuned to pick up the words, you'll pick up the words or the songs or whatever. There's radio stations all over the place. The air is full of words right now. Okay? Words are everywhere. Okay? We need to understand how we can utilize this reality for our benefit. Amen? So that we can allow God to be great in our lives the way he wants to be. Amen. So many times, I'm preaching to myself as much as I'm preaching to all of you guys, you know, because listen, the Lord's pulled me aside more than once and said to me, would you please shut up? I don't know how he talks to you, but he talks to me that way. Go figure. He said, would you please shut up? What do you mean? The more you talk, the more you're giving the devil free ammunition. And honey, he's going to use it. If you give him bullets to use, he's going to use them. Don't do that. Okay? Thank you, Jesus. One of the things I've learned hanging around people like Brother Hagin, and I was around Brother Hagin, and Pastor Hagin, I've been around him extensively, and a number of other Word of Faith, well-known, spirit-filled, tongue-talking, heavily anointed people. Okay, I could quote the names, and you'd recognize them all in our circles. One common denominator among all these people, and I've been with them, I've driven for them and stuff, you know, they are all very economical with their words. They don't talk much. Almost to the point of being rude. Because if you try to engage them in conversation just to be polite, they have nothing to say. They don't. They don't talk. But if you want to talk about the things of God, you can't shut them up. They'll talk about the things of God for hours. Okay, but they know the discipline of the tongue. They know the value of silence. Okay, we don't have to talk all the time. Think before you speak. And if you don't have something to say that adds something to the conversation that gives God something to work with, just shut up. Zip the lip. Do yourself a favor. Amen. And, you know, we all have to be reminded of these things. Look with me at, goodness, so many things here. Ephesians 6. Ephesians 6, verse 10. We all know these verses. Ephesians 6 is the chapter that talks about spiritual armor and who we're fighting against. Okay. Finally, my brethren, verse 10, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Okay, notice, it's his might, not mine, not yours, it's his. Okay, we are what we are by the grace of God, correct? Okay, all right. Put on, verse 11, put on the whole armor of God, not most of it, some of it, but all of it, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. The word wiles in the Greek means strategies. The devil does not come to town shooting from the hip. He thinks it through. He follows you around. He listens to what's coming out your mouth. He watches what you watch on TV or on the computer screen, whatever. He takes notes. He's gathering intelligence. Sometimes it takes him years to formulate enough information against you to launch an attack. He's very patient. Just because he's not bothering you today doesn't mean he won't bother you a year from now. He's always there watching and learning and listening. Okay? Because he's not omniscient. He doesn't know everything. He has to find things out. So he will trail you around, okay, for a long, long time, if necessary, until he's got enough information that he thinks was enough to put together a plan to bring you down, to either kill you or at least neutralize you so that you may end up as a body in a chair in church somewhere, but you have no effect for the kingdom of God. He wants to neutralize you if he can't kill you. It's just outright, okay? Well, those are the wiles of the devil. Verse 12, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. How do you wrestle? I mean, if he says we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, the implication is we do wrestle, but not against flesh and blood. And then he tells us who we're wrestling against. Evil spirits, the different ranks of the demonic kingdom. Okay, there, you know, God's got an army and so does the devil. There are ranks, you know, principalities, powers, rulers, you know, going up the chain of command. Okay, well, how do you wrestle with these entities? You do so with your words. This is how you do it. Spiritual warfare requires spiritual weapons. And again, the weapon that is the most powerful, most lethal, is the words that we speak. God creates with them, the devil destroys with them. God creates with words, the devil destroys with words. Take your pick. If you don't want the devil destroying things in your life, keep your mouth shut. And say only what gives God something to work with, because if you don't, you're just handing the devil free ammunition, and baby, he will use it against you. Okay, let's go. Let's keep reading. Verse 13. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. How many would agree we're in the evil day? Having done all, we stand. Stand therefore. This is the 14th verse. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth. That's number one. And we don't need to go any farther than that right now, because what does the Bible say? What is truth? God's word. All right. It's just like what Pastor Ed talked about a few minutes ago at the opening of the service. Okay. Our confidence, our hiding place, our source of refuge is God's word. But if you don't take time to put that down in your heart, you've got no place to go when you need to hide. You don't have a hiding place. You're out there, you're exposed, and the devil will just steamroll right over you. Okay. So, having girded your waist with truth. So let's talk about this in our few minutes remaining here this evening. Remember what Pilate said to Jesus? Pilate had a question for him. He said, what is truth? When Jesus was being interrogated. And by the way, Jesus knew when to shut up. Pilate was amazed. He said, listen, I've got the power to crucify you. I've got the power to let you go. And Jesus said, you don't have any power at all unless God gave it to you. I got news for you, buddy. Amen. But he was amazed. You know, he said, you're not answering my accusations. You're not answering my charges. What's wrong with you? Because Jesus knew his time had come. He had to go through what he had to go through. So he's where he needed to be. Okay? Sometimes it's better just to keep quiet and let God do what God needs to do. Amen. Just like these people I used to hang with. You know, they don't talk much. Okay, so God's word is truth. The devil wants to stop the preaching of the word. This is all what he wants to do. He wants to stop you preaching it, teaching it, sharing it, speaking it. This is why COVID came down the road, to shut us up. Okay, once again, I'll say this again. The Chinese didn't invent COVID-19. The Chinese were used by the devil to bring it into the earth. He needed a vehicle to bring it into the planet, and the Chinese were willing accomplices. But this comes from the devil, and it's designed to shut down the body of Christ. And of course, to kill as many people as possible. I mean, he's always wanting to do that. But this was his vehicle to shut the church down so that we couldn't go out and share the gospel. How many people, since this whole thing was unleashed in March of 2020, how many people have died all around the world because of this virus? And how many of these people were not reached with the gospel before they died? Because we couldn't get to them. Because they weren't allowed to. Because we were shut down. Because the churches were closed. Because everybody's hiding behind their Bibles. How many people? Only God knows. That's what the devil is always trying to do. But in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 9, the Bible says the word of God cannot be bound. 2 Timothy 2:9. You can't stop the word. You can stop people. You can put them in jail. There's people all over the world right now in jail for the faith. Okay? But you can't stop the word of God. The devil's been trying to do this since Adam. 6,000 years. He's been trying to shut the word down, and you can't shut the word down because it is everywhere. Okay? It's out there. Praise the Lord. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. All right. Look at Acts 4, and we'll close here. I've got more, and we'll cover that tomorrow. Acts chapter number 4. Thank you, Jesus. All right, let's see. Well, let's see. Acts 4:13. Fourth chapter, 13th verse. Now, this is Peter and John, and they're now called on the carpet for the miracle of the man at the beautiful gate, the man that was crippled from his mother's womb. Okay, they were walking into the temple to worship the Lord. There was the guy crumpled up in the corner there by the gate with his hand out asking for money. And Peter said, "Silver and gold I don't have, but such as I do have, I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." Grabbed him by the arm and lifted him up, yanked him up really. And his feet and his ankle bones received strength. And he went walking and leaping into the temple, praising the Lord. The whole temple comes together because they all knew who this guy was. He'd been sitting at the gate for some time now. They had passed him every day. They knew who he was. And they couldn't believe the guy's walking, leaping, praising the Lord. The first crusade took place right there. Thousands of people got saved. And as a result, they were arrested. And so now, the next day, the next chapter, they're called in to the Sanhedrin to answer the charges of preaching without a permit. That's what it was. Preaching without a permit. Okay? The Pharisees said, "Who gave you this authority? By what authority have you done these things? We didn't tell you you could do this." And so then they answered. So it says in verse 13, "When they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were uneducated and untrained men, they marveled." Well, I didn't go to Bible school. You don't have to. Look at what God did with uneducated and untrained people. Apparently, he doesn't mind if you don't have a doctorate of divinity. Apparently, he doesn't care either. You can have all kinds of initials after your name. God's not impressed. Someone say amen. He'll use you. He'll use me. He'll use anybody that makes themselves available. Young, old, and everybody in between. They were marveling. They said, "Who are these people?" And they realized that they had been with Jesus. And seeing the man who had been healed standing with them, they could say nothing against it. Miracles, one miracle is worth 10,000 sermons. All of you that have gone on mission trips, I see Geraldine there, and there's Jane in the back, and all of you guys, you know you were there. Mary Lou, you know. One miracle. I mean, you just lay hands on people, and the miracles preach the gospel for you. Amen. There's one girl, 15 years old. She showed up. Her pastor sent her to the Crusades. Okay, she's 15. And she'd never passed out a tract. She'd never talked to anybody about Jesus. She went on the trip to just, she loved the Lord and she wanted to get involved in missions. She came to the Philippines for one of our Crusade tours. First day out, first person she prayed for was blind. First day, first person. This is a 15-year-old girl. And that person was instantly healed. She came back to the compound crying uncontrollably. Couldn't believe it. I said, "This is what happens when people find out he'll use you. You don't need to go to XYZ Bible school. If God tells you to go, then you should go. Okay, but you don't have to go." These people were just fishermen. They were tax collectors. They were blue-collar workers. And look at what God's doing with these people. They could say nothing against it because the dude that was paralyzed is standing next to them. Praise the Lord. When they had commanded them to go aside out of the council, they conferred among themselves. By the way, the 15-year-old girl, I hear my wife talking to Phyllis here, she went to Rhema after that. Signed and enrolled in Rhema just because of what happened in the Philippines. All right. Saying, "What shall we do to these men? For indeed a notable miracle has been done through them is evident to all who dwell in Jerusalem. And we cannot deny it. But that it spreads no further among the people, let us severely threaten them that from now on they speak to no man in this name." That's what they're afraid of. The name of Jesus. You can talk about God all day long. Nobody would get offended over that. But you talk about Jesus. The name of Jesus, not even Christ. It's Jesus that they're afraid of. It's that name that will every knee will bow to. Amen. Talk about Jesus and people get nervous. Just like these people. So verse 16, or verse 18, I should say. They called them and commanded them not to speak at all nor teach in the name of Jesus. See? That's what they're after. They're going to stop you from preaching in the name of Jesus. All right? But the more you put the Word of God into your heart, the bolder you're going to get. And in your hour of testing, you'll stand right up and face these people, get right up in their face and tell them, hey, you know what? You can throw me in jail if you want, but you'll never shut me up because I'm going to preach the gospel. And there's coming a time, should Jesus tarry in this country, we were talking about it earlier, if the Lord tarries, you better be prepared to do jail time. I'm serious. Or compromise your faith, and I'm not doing that. How about you? I'm not compromising my message. One jot or tittle. You don't like it? Arrest me. But I'll continue preaching one way or the other. I know what I'm called to do, and so are you. I told my staff years ago before one of the presidential elections, I said, you know what? Depending upon what goes on here, and this was in the Philippines, I said, next month's the election and so forth. I'll tell you, you know, who I believe will win and et cetera, all that. It doesn't matter because I'm telling you right now, if it comes to push, comes to shove, and you have to go to jail, if I have to go to jail for the message I preach, I'm going to jail. I'm telling you staff straight up. But I better see you in the jail cell next to me. Because if I don't, you're fired. You know, that's I don't want anybody on my staff that's not prepared to give their life for this message because it's worth it. Someone say amen.
Amen.
The devil is terrified of the Word of God. Fill your heart with it, fill your mouth with it, and terrorize the kingdom of darkness with it. That's when life gets to be fun. Amen. I'll close with this. You know, we were having a crusade. I'm not sure if I ever mentioned this to you, but maybe I did. If so, then fine. Enjoy the story once again. We had a witch doctor show up at a crusade one time. And this young lady, I'd say about 23, 24 years old, young girl, she came and we were having a crusade. And in our crusade meetings, we have praise and worship. We have singers and people that sing. And the songs are used to attract the crowds. And then they hear the singing and the crowds because we're playing in the park. And the crowd begins to assemble. So they had finished with their praise and worship. And by that time, we had gathered a crowd of about 400 people, would be my guess, give or take. And we were on an elevated platform about 4.5 feet off the ground. We had built the platform, built it for the crusade, had steps on the side. And the microphones were temporarily unoccupied, about 5 of them, because the singers and the musicians had finished and they had sat down. The next portion of the service is the preaching part. So I'm sitting back here with my interpreter waiting to step up to the microphone. And while I'm, just before I'm about to step up, this girl jumps up on the stage, walks right up on the platform, and grabs one of the microphones and starts putting spells on people. She's a witch doctor. Like I said, you know, all kinds of things over there you deal with. She's putting spells on people, calling down, you know, calling clouds to form and rain to come to destroy the meetings. You know, she's doing this in our meeting with my microphone. How rude. So, you know, we were working with volunteers, a volunteer staff. Now we would have people who know what to do. But these were in the early days when it was just me and my Bible. Ethel wasn't even there at that time. And so the ushers were all volunteers from the local church that were working with us. They didn't know what to do. So they turned to look at me with this blank look on their face. What do we do now? Because she's just going after it, pointing their finger at people, and they're starting to scatter because they know who she is. So the Lord said, do something about this now. Okay. So she's facing the crowd, and I'm behind her. So I come up from behind. She's got the microphone. She's put spells on people. I grab her by her shoulder blades and spin her around so she's facing me, about this close. Yank the microphone out of her hand and toss it off to one of the ushers. And then I picked her up by the front of her blouse, lifted her up, and threw her off the stage. Someone might say, well, that's not very spiritual. I agree. But it was extremely effective. We never heard from old Sugar Bumps again for the rest of the crusade. Nope. Gone. I guess she was sensing a tad bit of resistance. What do you think? You know, you do what you have to do. Amen. We're not out here to win friends. We don't... graduates of Dale Carnegie's course, you know, on how to win friends and influence. Get the job done for God. Let the devil know you're not going to put up with any guff from him in the name of Jesus. Tell him you have no rights in my house. You have no rights in my marriage. You've got no rights in my family. Get out. And then cover your family with God's word. And cover your job with God's word. And cover your income with God's word. And cover your health with God's word. Amen. The war of words. We're in it until Jesus comes. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for the word of God tonight. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we believe, Lord, that if we need to, and we probably need to, we're going to adjust our conversation. Adjust our conversation so that we give you, Lord, something to work with in our lives. And we need to throw the devil off of our porch, off of our platform, in the name of Jesus. Holy Spirit, you are hovering over our lives, just like you were hovering thousands of years ago over planet Earth. You're hovering over our lives to do what only you can do. You want to be involved. Help us to open the portals and give you permission to move with the words we speak. We thank you, Lord, for this in the name of Jesus. We give you the praise and the glory, Lord. We thank you. In your heart of hearts right now, just ask the Lord to forgive you for wayward conversation. Listen, I've done this so many times I can't count. All the things that have been said, all the things that have come out your mouth, okay? Just ask the Lord to forgive you. You can't change it. You can't go back, so just ask the Lord to forgive you and move on from it, okay? Just be like Paul. Forget the things which are behind. Reach forward to the things ahead, okay? You can't change the past. Just ask the Lord to forgive you. Don't be condemned over it, and let's move on from here, okay? I'm telling you in the name of Jesus, I see this building, I see these chairs full of people. Well, it doesn't look like that. Well, I'm not talking about what it looks like. I'm talking about what God's saying. Faith is the evidence of things not seen. Amen? And I'm telling you what I see here, okay? And it's not going to be someone's polished preaching that brings the people in here. It's going to be the power of God that does it. Amen? Like I said, one miracle is worth 10,000 sermons. Amen? But what did Paul do with the Corinthian church? Go back and read it in chapter 1. He said, I implore you, I want you all speaking the same things. Amen. You know, we were talking earlier, you know, prophecies have been delivered in this church. I've been used to do it and others have too. You need to read those. You need to read them often so that you don't lose sight of what God's telling you is coming down the road. Coming down the road. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Let's all stand. The last time, I'm reminded of something I was used to say. The last time I think I was here, one prophetic utterance used the word forward fire base. Remember that. You know what that means? A forward fire base. That's where you are placed on the edge of enemy territory, as far out as you can go. And still be in contact with your forces. A forward fire base. It's an artillery base where you are used to lob shells over upon where the enemy positions are. A forward fire base. This is what your church is. Okay? It's designed to penetrate the darkness of this part of the world here. And then from here to go into all the world. Okay? You can put flags. You know, they've got posts and you can put the flags. You know, some churches have walls and things. Put, you know, my suggestion is to put flags around to remind you of what this church is here to do, to go into all the world. You know, we were talking earlier about people that are working in places like Afghanistan. You know, pray for these people. It is not easy doing work in places like Afghanistan. You better know who you are in Christ, okay? Over here, you can cruise on Snicker bars and think you're spiritual. But there, over there, your life is on the line. Amen. And like I said, we've had people shoot at us. We've had Muslim imams jump up and try to knife me in the middle of my message and, you know, whatever else is going down the road. But let's decide tonight that once and for all, we're going to get our mouth and our conversation in order in the name of Jesus. Amen. And if you can't say something that agrees with the vision of the church, and this is your church, then keep your mouth shut. Amen. Don't contribute to what the devil's going to always try to do, which is to sow discord. Amen. Don't let that happen in the name of Jesus. Amen. Close your eyes. Holy Spirit's here. He's here. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Great potential. This is what I see here, says the Lord. Great, great potential. Untapped power. Untapped power. Understand that I have never left you, but many have left me. But I'm still here. My word is yes and amen. And for years and years, for decades, in fact, this church has been marked out to be a player in these last days, to be a significant force for faith in this part of the world and from here to other parts of the world. Through the missionaries that you send, through the people that you know, but especially through you, each and every one of you, your important cogs in this great mix of outreach and evangelism. Don't look to yourself thinking that you're not qualified, that you're not able to represent me. I enable you. I cover you with my grace. I'm not looking for perfect vessels. I'm looking for available vessels, people that will step up to the plate, fearless to represent me and to stand in the gap, to make a wall for this country and for this church in this country. The devil has schemed and worked hard to destroy this planet with churches like this one at the forefront of his priorities. But I'm telling you that you are precious to me, and I need you to be smart, and I need you to be sharp for me in these last days. We cannot cruise any longer with lethargy, apathy, or laziness. We must work together. I need you. You are my voice on the earth today. So recognize this, understand this, and realize you're important to me. Not just because you are, but because you are somebody with a message, somebody with a word that I need to spread and to share. So see yourself the way I see you, not the way others see you, maybe not even the way you see yourself. But you see me, and I see you through my word. And this is where our common ground and our foundation is to be built, upon my word and what I say about you. Not what other people say, and even not what other people think. But I say that you are more than a conqueror. Greater is the Holy Spirit in you. I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. And I will never withhold any good thing from you, because I need you ready, willing, and able, prepared and equipped on the front lines to do everything I need to be done in this church and through this church to the world around you as I lead you and guide you. So rejoice for the future. It is not bleak. It is not dark. It is exciting. And the clouds are parting, and prosperity and provision are on its way. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Money will overtake you. Money transfer will overtake you. The wealth of the world will be moved from their pocketbooks to yours. You won't have to make it happen. I'll make it happen. Favor will surround you like a shield. Favor will surround you and propel you forward and put you in front of men of renown and influence. And you'll share the gospel with them, and they shall receive. And no good thing will be withheld, because the prosperity you need to do what you were called to do years ago in this place will be accomplished in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Everybody in this room tonight, you need to know that you are important to God. Amen? You know, sometimes we end services by people being ministered to. We're going to end this one by ministering to the Lord. We're going to minister to Him. You know, the Bible says we can bless the Lord. I consider that to be an honor, that we can bless the Lord, actually put a smile on His face. Amen? And I cannot think of a better way to do that than to just, in your heart of hearts, you say to the Lord, I am done playing church here. I'm done being half-baked. I'm going to commit to this, to the effort here of this church. Amen? That's what He's talking about. He needs us. He needs you. He needs me. He needs everybody where they're positioned by the Holy Spirit to do what needs to be done. Nobody in this building is unimportant. here. No one is better than anybody else here. Amen. Everybody is usable and meet for the Master's use. And wherever you go tomorrow, Jesus goes with you. Pastor Zed, Pastors Greg, Phyllis, they're not there. You're there. You represent the Lord where you go. Amen. And when they see the power of God in you and they listen to the word of God coming out your mouth, maybe they won't like it at first, but it will draw them in. It's like a magnet. Pulls people in. Amen. Because they'll watch. And they've been watching this church for a long, long time, and it's still here. Amen. The founding pastors are in heaven, but the church is still here. Because it was never about them. It was about the Holy Spirit using them to build this church. It was never about a person or a couple. It was about the vision. And he's got plenty of people here to carry it on, to bring it forth in Jesus' name. Amen. So I'm excited for the future. How about you? Amen. Let's all lift our hands and give God the glory. Thank you, Lord. You are gracious to us. You are patient with us. You are magnanimous. You are forgiving. You're loving. You work with us. I thank you, Lord. We praise you tonight. We thank you for working with us, being patient through all the years of lethargy and whatever else. Thank you, Lord, for helping us resharpen our swords, recommit, Lord, to excellence in Christ Jesus. We want to represent you, Lord. You know, your word says that whatever we do it heartily as unto the Lord and not as unto men. Help us all in the building tonight to remember that. We're working for you. Everything we do it with excellence. We want to thank you, Lord. We want you to be blessed. We bless you in the name of the Lord Jesus. Thank you, Heavenly Father. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Yeah, amen. Just one final thought. Some people are thinking to themselves, I'm too old. No, you're not too old. Caleb was 85. And he was chomping at the bit to take the giants out. So you're not. Nobody is ever too old. If you have breath in your lungs, you can talk to somebody about Jesus. Amen. Nobody is disqualified. There are no excuses. Someone say amen.
Amen.
Did this help anybody tonight?
Yes.
Let's give a hand clap to the Lord. Amen. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Just like the Marines, we're looking for a few good men. And that's you and me. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. All right. We'll wrap this up tomorrow night. Amen.